T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Len Casper.
How close are the Cubs and Dodgers in your mind?
I think pretty close. The Dodgers offensively are pretty stacked, and the Cubs are too. But Cody Bellinger right now feels like the MVP. They have a really deep lineup. Their rotation has been excellent. Clayton Kershaw kind of seems to be the old Clayton Kershaw. Hyunjin Ryu right now is in the Cy Young debate. Rich Hill, I think, is 39 and still pitching pretty well. You know, Walker Buehler, fireballing right-hander. They're the really good. I think as it stands right now, they're probably the test case. They're the team that the Cubs, I suppose, measure themselves against, and a team that's been in the World Series each of the last 2 years. But I agree. I think they're the two best in the NL on paper, and 4-game weekend series. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show, today with more intelligence, more in-depthness, and 1,000% more Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. Grote, good to see you.
I am skeptical about your assertion of the more intelligent aspect of it. There is a certain Duke grad who's not working today would probably take umbrage with that. Would that be the right word?
I hope.
Umbrage?
I hope that he would take umbrage with it. Yeah. That kind of was the point. Great to hear from you. Good to see you. Grody's in all morning. You can follow us on Twitter all throughout the show. We are at Bernstein_MCK. You can email us, Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You are able to contact us, too, through the streaming app, the radio.com app. That's how we stream. You can stream the score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook as well. You can like the 670 The Score page, and that gets you involved in all the conversations we're having today. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Packed show for you today as well. Tons going on, both with the White Sox and the Cubs. And, of course, we had one of the more entertaining NBA Finals games that I've seen in quite some time. Not since the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead to the Cavaliers has it been quite like that. And there were repercussions for the rest of the league, probably forever, in that game. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine at 10:20. He is the NBA insider for the radio.com sports service. We'll do the midday midway at 10:40. Jonah Carey is going to join us to talk baseball at 11 o'clock. And Richard Deitch, who covers the Raptors and does a whole bunch of work up in Toronto, is going to let us know what the scene is like at the spot of their first championship. We're going to find out what Jurassic Park looks like after a title today. But we begin with this. The Cubs lost to the Dodgers last night, 7-3 the final. John Lester was unable to hold things together after being hit with a comebacker off the foot. Some interesting comments from Lester after the game. And yet again, the Cubs on the road have struggled just a bit, even after putting 3 on Clayton Kershaw early and holding, staking themselves to an early lead.
Yeah, and the problem that I've had with John Lester this year in general, I mean, he had a really solid start to the season. First 7 starts were really good. Then that late May crash where he was really bad against Washington, Philadelphia, and Houston. Mm-hmm. Then in the start previous to this against the Cardinals, where he gave up 4 fast runs and settled in. And I think even before that, he was okay against the Angels. Something that has happened to John Lester that I never thought would, and he could get over this, but he has become unpredictable to me, to where he used to always be, like Joe Maddon would say, he's that metronome who you know what you're going to get to. Slowly but surely, he has become unpredictable. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I mean, he didn't give up a hit until the 3rd inning last night, and then all of a sudden, as you said, and I don't know if it was causal or there's a correlation to him getting the ball hit off of his leg, but he just starts getting blasted by Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy and then David Freese, and just a complete crash and burn for Lester. I've never seen him be unpredictable, and that's what he is to me right now.
Dodger hitters were 1-for-10 against Lester before he was hit by the comebacker in the left foot, right on like the middle of the foot, not like the heel or the ankle or anything, just right on the middle, right in the that center of it. They were 8-for-12 afterwards off John Lester. And like you say, and like he said, that's a solid Dodger lineup, right? I mean, nobody needs to be told that Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger can get you and get you a couple times in a ball game. But I think it was the way that Lester talked about it afterward that has people raising their eyebrows a little bit. Dan and I have talked about this a whole lot on the show. Lester's talked about it some. Other prime time pitchers have talked about this season. The ball is different. John Lester's brought this up. Justin Verlander's brought this up. David Price has brought this up. And last year, two Toronto starters, both Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, brought it up in terms of their blister injuries and stuff that had happened to them that they hadn't had happen before. Here's what Lester said afterward about the way he was pitching. Made some mistakes. Feel like I had great stuff. I got beat by three opposite field home runs. I'd like to think that pitching to the big part of the field is still beneficial, but I guess not. I don't want to take anything away from the hitters. They got really good hitters. Bellinger's probably one of the best I've seen as far as his approach. But like I said, it makes it difficult when you can't pitch to the big side of the field.
Here's what I've been wondering about the juiced ball theory. I am baffled by the fact that we all accept that that is going on. Like, it's sort of this... It's a theory that everybody has that the ball is juiced, like by real baseball people, say broadcast. I've heard Len Casper saying, you know, the ball's got to be juiced. You know, writers saying the ball's got to be juiced. Why is it okay that the baseball is juiced? It's not okay to scuff the baseball. It's not okay to cork your bat. It's not okay. You know, there's lots of things you're not allowed to do. Why is it this kind of wink and a nod and kind of our dirty little secret? Oh, we think the ball is juiced. Well, why don't we find out if the ball is juiced? How is that not cheating by Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred to kind of like, yeah, we juice the ball because it's more fun, it's more entertaining for people, more home runs is more fun. Not a whole lot of fun for the pitchers. And people will come back at me and say, well, it's an even playing field. Okay, if it's an even playing field, then just tell us. Just say, yes, the damn ball is juiced. Pitchers, be ready to adjust and prepare accordingly.
Dude, with you. 100% with you. The truth. Let the truth set you free. Like, baseball is just doing this thing. We're like, you know, it's fine. It's within the margins.
Like, it's funny to people.
It's hee-hee-ha-ha. It ain't funny to a lot of people. Yeah. Cubs lose to the Dodgers last night, 7-3. White Sox get a nice little win against the Yankees and a marquee matchup tonight with Lucas Giolito and CC Sabathia going at it. He's Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. The segment is brought to you by the Chicago Dogs. Tickets are on sale now for the Chicago Dogs, your premier minor league baseball team. You can get in the game this weekend with the Mini Bat Giveaway Friday. It's the best postgame fireworks on Saturday, and you can catch on the field with Dad on Father's Day on Sunday. That is awesome. Tickets are at thechicagodogs.com. The Chicago Dogs, baseball with everything. So went through a little bit of what happened in the game last night, but I think just as interesting is some of the comments that Jed Hoyer, the general manager of the Cubs, shared with Mack and Parkins yesterday on The Score. That interview happened about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Is just as they were, you know, wrapping things up and making sure the loose ends were tied, the boys asked Jed about Ben Zobrist. And I got to tell you, Mark, I hadn't heard Ben Zobrist's situation and potential discussed like this from the Cubs before. I'd never heard this kind of speculation about it, this kind of positive speculation about it. After the update, we will play for you what Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager, told Mack and Parkins just yesterday. It's Bernstein and McKnight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We've been in contact with Ben. He's been in contact with his teammates. So, you know, he's you know, obviously working through this family stuff. We're giving him his privacy, but certainly as an organization, you know, we're hopeful that we'll see him in a Cubs uniform again, and that we know just kind of given his professionalism that when he does come back, he'll get himself in great shape and he'll be ready to play. So now that's kind of how we see it now. And, you know, we'll keep talking to him, but that's certainly the expectation today.
That is Cubs General Manager Jed Hoyer on with Mac and Parkins yesterday afternoon. Jed, kind enough to join the Score for an interview, as Theo and Jed often do. They're very generous with the time. They're as candid as it seems they could possibly be. They've answered some tough questions. They've answered some questions that they don't have answers on, really. And I find this one, the Ben Zobrist situation, one where it's kind of everything. I mean, how could you possibly, as a general manager, as a president of baseball operations, how could you possibly really know what's going on in a guy's personal life the way that Ben obviously has things going on with his family, other than just to make your best guess and stay in touch with him as best you can? It's impossible to get inside a person's brain and make decisions for a baseball team, and yet that's the ask on Theo and Jed right now. And it seems, at this point, given the comments that Jed Hoyer made yesterday, that it's a matter of when Ben Zobrist mm-hmm. could return to this team, which is absolutely not the perspective that it seemed the Cubs had on Ben's potential return even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and just looking at it purely from a baseball standpoint, obviously this would be huge to get him back. And I always say that because let's talk about, again, the team that they played last night,
sure.
the LA Dodgers, and the ridiculous amount of depth that team has. You still need somebody like Ben Zobrist. You were going to need to probably add something like that on anyway. So to potentially get that back is huge, and then you add that to Craig Kimbrell as well, who is going to be coming into the Cubs, you know, pretty soon. I think that, again, from a baseball standpoint, this is a massive turnaround. And I say turnaround because everything that we had heard from everybody inside the Cubs clubhouse, talking about beat writers and reporters and broadcasters, if you ask people, their best guess was that Ben Zobrist was not going to return. But and I had thought, unfortunately, that the next time we were going to see Ben Zobrist was going to be him getting a standing ovation, you know, coming back to a Cubs game, sitting in Theo Epstein's skybox,
yeah.
or in the playoffs, and he'd get like the David Ross hero treatment,
which he deserves. And it's actually very nice to hear that the potential return is still on the table for Ben. I mean, I wouldn't book it or anything.
No,
just like it kind of it seemingly from the outside has vacillated from probably not going to happen to, yeah, it's definitely a potential outcome for this whole thing. It could vacillate back again. It could change one more time. These things they're sticky, you know? I mean, they could be contentious. I hope that that's not the case, mostly for those kids and that family, but certainly that's in the realm of possibility. I kind of figured, you know, when this whole thing started going down, boy, what a sad way for Ben to have to potentially walk off from an MLB career.
Yeah, and I'm glad that he has the capacity in this organization to do what he has done. And I imagine that Ben Zobrist didn't know. I mean, his main goal was to go take care of his affairs, take care of his kids, and he probably didn't know if he would return, and probably is seeing some light right now that he is thinking that it's very possible that he could. So, you know, I mean, again, from the baseball side, it would help. He's going to be more rested when he comes back. I mean, Ben Zobrist is a guy that, you know, I've been around covering the Cubs on the tour, and, you know, he is not afraid to go up to Joe Maddon and say, you know, I'm not feeling it today.
Yeah.
I don't think I could play today. I don't think I could play tomorrow. Sit me out a couple of days. I mean, he's a made man in that capacity. I mean, we saw him do it earlier this year. Was it with David Bodie? Where basically,
yeah, he put Bodie in the lineup.
He scratched himself.
And then Bodie had the rough day.
Yeah.
And Zobrist was the guy that came up with it.
That's
it wasn't
right.
A walk-off winner. It was a go-ahead or something. Ended up scoring the winning run.
Yes. So he's got that presence of mind, and he's got that confidence that he could do such things. But I would imagine that, you know, if he does come back, that he's going to be, you know, a well-rested guy. He's probably going to have to do some sort of Iowa.
I would imagine it's an extensive amount of rehab
probably,
for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's 37, 38, going mm-hmm. on 39 when the season's over. That's very old to be playing baseball. Not that he can't just that it's going to take him some time to get back into game shape. And then, you know, for nothing else, if you are coming back as late as Ben would seem to come back at this point, I mean, if he starts, you know, if he starts tomorrow, it's probably a month, you know? I mean, they're not going to rush Craig Kimbrell. Yeah. Why would you rush a 39-year-old part-time player who can matter for you but isn't going to be your de facto starter at any one spot, you know, excepting injury?
It's all working out perfectly now that I think about it, because we've seen it every year, just about. Joel Maddon's teams take off in August.
Yeah.
And into September. That's usually the blast-off point for Joel Maddon, and if everything comes back together, who knows what they add to as far as the trade deadline in terms of a potential bullpen, maybe a lefty, maybe another outfielder, whatever the case may be. So it's, you know, quietly coming all together in that regard.
If he's fresh-legged when he gets back, it's adding like another 30% of Ben Zobrist to me. And it's another solution where the Cubs only have to spend money. Like Kimbrel, you're not giving up prospect depth to go get something you need. Zobrist could fill, you know, some sort of need if someone were to get hurt, or just be that guy off the bench or in certain situations against opposing pitchers. He's that extra guy that you add for money, and that lets you hopefully go fish for bigger fish when you're on the trade deadline, when you're looking for your shutdown lefty or whatever.
I don't know. Like with him being, if he had stayed on the restricted list, wouldn't the Cubs have saved $9.9 million?
Yeah,
basically?
Nine and change, I think. So, the entire season, I think it was supposed to be nine and change.
Okay, so if he comes back, then saved. Are they then strapped again?
So for the way I understand it is that you'll pay, you don't have to do back pay, but you'll pay for when he plays. So it's kind of like a pay-as-you-go situation.
Okay. All right.
And the way I've read it, MLB Trade Rumors and a couple other places have reported it this way, that it's $2 million a month for Ben Zobrist. So if you've got him for the last month and a half, figure $3 million, and that's a guy that you just get to add on. And remember, too, deadline's July 31. There are no waiver deals this season.
Right.
That's done. So no other team really gets to make an addition like the Cubs could if Zobrist comes back to full potential. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's hope it happens. And, I mean, for his sake, and I think everybody has been in total and complete agreement that it's about him and give him whatever time he needs, and if he comes back, it's great.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Mark Grody is in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. When we come back, a legendary baseball writer had some prophetic things to say about the manager of the Chicago Cubs. Peter Gammons was on with Mullen Haw earlier this morning. We're going to get to the NBA Finals at 10 o'clock. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us at 10:20. He, the NBA insider for Radio.com Sports. We'll get into what was an incredible Game 6 and a championship for Toronto a little later on in the show. Stay with us. 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think that as long as they stay in it this year and some bizarre things don't happen, that Joe's going to be retained. I know his coaches feel very strongly about it, that he should be kept.
It's Bernstein and McKnight. I'm Connor McKnight. Mark Grody is in for Dan. That, of course, was the voice of national baseball reporter and Bigfoot in the league, Peter Gammons. He was on with Mully and Haw earlier this morning. The boys asked him about Joe Maddon's future. It's not been, Mark, I'll be honest, it's not been the topic of conversation this season the way I thought it would be. I think a lot of that has to do with winning. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with getting out from behind a 2-7 start and righting the ship some. I think a lot of that has to do with them going to the opposite field for as much power as they are. It's a little thing, but that's something Joe preaches. So to see results in an area Joe talks about, whether it's even his responsibility, his fault, or his credit or not, I think that takes some heat off. But, you know, it was just kind of a end of the interview question with Peter Gammons, and there you have it. He's got what I would call informed speculation that Joe Maddon, barring something crazy, is likely back at the helm of the Chicago Cubs after this year.
Yeah, and the home runs last night for the Cubs were opposite field. The rare right field homer for Chris Bryant.
At Dodger Stadium at night.
Yes.
You know how hard that is to do?
Ball deadens there at night.
Well, apparently not anymore.
Nope.
Apparently the ball is very alive.
It's
you cannot
juiced.
Kill this baseball.
Nobody cares, but the ball is juice. Isn't that funny? The ball is juice. That's great. And Schwarber, first pitch of the game, home run, opposite field. I've been saying saying this too, that to me the fact that the calling for Joe Maddon this year has been, okay, we're gonna make you a little bit nervous. We're not sure if we're gonna extend you. We're gonna make you earn it. We're gonna make you work for it. We're gonna think about it. But at the same time, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, we're gonna ask you to actually do more with our ball club. Yeah. We are going to put our players in your hands a little bit more. We want you to do more in the preseason. We would like you to work with hitters. We want you to work with Schwarber. We want you to manage more. We're not sure if we want to keep you, but we do know that we want you to do more, and we want you to influence our players more. And to me, that makes absolutely no sense. Why would you, if you're not sure about the guy, why would you want him to have more influence on the players if you're not sure about this
guy?
So
let me ask you, I have a tentative answer to that. And obviously not being Theo or Jed means I can't give you a definitive answer. But I've always kind of thought that with Joe, especially when he came into town and, you know, Ricky Renteria goes, Joe comes in, so do the petting zoos and the magicians and all of that. Joe was there in 15 and there. And so I don't have to tell you, you were there. But that Joe has kind of gone by the wayside. There aren't magicians walking around the clubhouse anymore, as far as I know. Yeah, and not yet. There are no petting zoos. But I think we have a tendency as Cubs observers or Cubs fan to forget Joe Maddon's resume for his reputation. I think the Cubs understand as a front office that this is a valuable teacher. And even though he may see some things differently than the new school does, that's okay. We've respected differences in baseball philosophy before, as long as those philosophies still end up meeting in the middle of, let's get Kyle Schwarber to use the whole field. Let's get Chris Bryant batting two or three. So he's got as many at-bats as possible in a season. You know what I mean? He's still, even if you have problems with the guy as a manager, which the Cubs may have some and they may be insurmountable, they may not, he's still a valuable asset to a team that's trying to develop the way Joe seems to want to develop hitters.
Yeah, and the other part, too, is that Joe Maddon, unlike other older managers or star managers, it's pretty amazing when you think about the fact that he's willing to change, that when his bosses say, we want you to coach more, go coach more. We want you to give the lineups 3 days. Could you imagine, like, Lou Piniella? Like if Jim Hendry was to tell Lou Piniella, like,
change?
I'd like you to do it. It's not going to happen. You know, it would not. There's no way.
They wouldn't have been able to change his everyday drink. I mean, they wouldn't. They were just like, even if the change was, Joe, we
Peter.
Want you to switch from white wine to light beer. Are you kidding me?
Peter, a Budweiser.
I am walking.
Like, we forget about that Joe, like, and I know we made jokes about the millennial thing and him wanting to,
you know,
millennials for dummies and all that kind of, but that was Joe going along with the program and saying, okay, yeah, I'm a star manager. I'm rich. I've won a World Series. I did great things in Tampa Bay, but I'm still willing to change and do things in a newer way to accommodate people and to keep my job when, in essence, he doesn't have to. He's set for life, and he's probably would get hired by somebody still other than the Cubs.
I want to know what Cubs fans think. 312-644-6767, because I get the sense, Mark, that the Joe Maddon conversation, will he or won't he return? The conversation is still an incredible one. But the will he or won't he return, the sitting on the edge of things right now, the way it felt this offseason, that is so far down on the list of fingernail-biting concerns for Cubs fans this year.
Which is great.
Right now, it's just toward the back burner. That's the sense I get of it. You tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that this is something that's top of mind. Is it interesting to talk about? Is it curious? Is it a strange situation? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think that it could have been. I mean, the way the season started with their 6-game losing streak and the 2-7 start, then I was like, okay.
And having the bullpen beat to death by hitters.
Just destruction of bullpen. I mean, that was 20 games in, and we're looking at a Mark Loretta head coach or managing situation for the Chicago Cubs. So, no, it's great that it hasn't been talked about. But I will say this, in listening here on The Score, it might have been your show or Mully and Haw, that when asked about it, it's been squelched to the point where he doesn't. They won't talk about
many
it.
Many times.
So, you know, if I think that's a big reason why. So the beat reporters who are there every day, they know that they can't go to that question, and so it doesn't become a story and that we're not talking about it. But I'm always thinking about it because it's a real thing. I also wonder too, Connor, is there a sentimental part? And I know that one of the great parts about Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer is that they try to leave that part out, and most good GMs have to leave out sentimental value. But Joe Maddon did win a World Series for the Chicago Cubs, and I know that the standard is the World Series every year for the Cubs, but could that play a small human nature part that they know that it sounds ridiculous to not retain the guy who you breathlessly went after? You know, you're like, Ricky Renteria, get the hell out of here. Come on in, Joe. And then he wins a World Series. Do you think that maybe they hear that part, that peripheral noise?
I think it would be impossible not to. And I think you're right when you try and when you detail this front office as one that tries to take sentimentality out as much as they possibly can. But they are an organization that has, when it doesn't hurt the team to allow sentimentality to creep into things. They treated the Addison Russell situation and allegations against him for spousal abuse as a massive global issue. Yeah, maybe that's not sentimentality to you, but that's very much more than other organizations have done.
Agreed.
When issues like this have popped up. They treated the Ben Zobrist divorce issue as cautiously and respectfully as I think I've seen a major league. I could be wrong, but Mark, I don't know of another player that's gone through a divorce. And obviously, I don't know what his is like, clearly, nor do I really care to know, but they've done something different than any other franchise that I can remember doing. So they've allowed like those sorts of things to affect decisions. I would imagine that, of course, they allow some of that sentimentality to creep in when it connects to Joe Maddon being the guy that won you a World Series.
This is a little bit of a left turn here I'm going to take on you, but you mentioned Addison Russell.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
No, feel free.
Because you're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
We got a pair
of old pre- and post-game guys here doing the show.
Right, dueling pre- and post.
We almost made it, Mark.
I'm on the Bears now, and you're hosting your own show. So here we are.
We almost did it.
Hey, we could do a whole show out of that, that little era of Cubs and White Sox pre- and post and things like that. So Addison Russell, why does he – so twice last night,
yeah.
Addison Russell has his own little form of the bat flip.
Yes.
Where he flings the bat, like, and he does this probably 10 times a year. He had two of them
known
last
for.
Where he loses the grip on the bat. Connor, why does that – is it because he's fooled so badly, he's so out in front? Why does that keep happening?
You know, he's got the thumb tab. And I've always wondered if the thumb, you know, it's that little piece of plastic that sits over the thumb and then rests right in that little, you know, the meaty part of the hand right there to hold it. I've always wondered if it's the wrong size. I don't know. I mean, I've got no other explanation for it.
Somebody fix that.
He's using the wrong size thumb thingy. I don't know. You mentioned that Joe is the guy that won the Cubs the World Series. There is one other dude who helped win the Cubs World Series that may be hot for that seat. We will get into that when we come back. We'll talk NBA Finals as well. What an incredible night last night in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard deserves to have his name mentioned among the absolute best doing it. We will get to Brian Scalabrine, the NBAradio.com sports insider at 10:20. Lots to do. It's Bernstein and McKnight with Mark Grody in for Dan here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.